As you know, he's in Ukraine this week. Last week, he was actually in Hungary, blessing Pastor Joseph's congregation. And this week, Pastor Joseph is here to bless us. Before I introduce him, I want to introduce a video that we'll be playing here in a moment. It concerns his church, the Free Christian Church in that city north of Budapest, Hungary. And there's some excellent things that are going on in that church, some excellent growth that has happened, and some incredible plans for the future. So with that, would you please roll that video?
Hello, I greet you in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Joseph Gere. I am the pastor in the Free Christian Church in Sziget-Szentmiklós. Sziget-Szentmiklós is my native town, and God spoke to me in 1991 and told me to start a new church in my town, and that's how the church started. From the very beginning, my wife, here is my wife, she is a great help for me. Some years ago, the leaders of the Free Christian denomination and me, we appointed my wife as the operative pastor, which means she does lot of work in the church, and she's a great help for me. We have two kids. Our son is 23 years old. His name is Benjamin. He does the sound work in the church, and he is very active in the youth group too. We have a daughter. Her name is Joanna. She is the worship leader when she is at home, but now actually she is with a Norwegian Bible school. And she is very active on many areas of our church too. In our church we have a very committed Christian lady. Her name is Rita, and she speaks very well English, and she will inform you more about our church and about our activities.
Hello, and God bless you. The name of our town is Sziget-Szentmiklós. It is located about 3 kilometers south from Budapest, which is the capital of Hungary. We count approximately 30,000 inhabitants of the city. There are 4 traditional churches, and our church is the only operating charismatic church. Our church operates according to the cell group system. We have different cell groups, not only in our town, but in the surrounding towns and villages as well. The vision and calling of our church is to reach our town and also the surrounding towns and villages. Our church is a mission-oriented church. We have Gypsy Mission. Gypsy Mission is also in the countryside of Hungary and in Romania. In Romania, we are participating in the Gypsy Mission for 8 years now. Every summertime, we participate in teaching the children, and also in the Christmas time, we deliver shoebox gifts for them. Other mission involvement is the YWAM ministry. There were some members of our church who went to the world through YWAM. And there are young people who are serving in the Jesus Revolution Army ministry, which is in Norway. They are traveling through Europe, evangelizing the different countries. Regarding the mission activity, we usually go to prisons, and also we have homeless ministry. There are 2 ladies in our church who are teaching the Bible in public schools of Budapest. Our church supports the interdenominational activities. There is a ladies' group which is familiar in the United States as well. It is called Women's Aglow. Our pastor's wife is the president of the Hungarian Women's Aglo. Regarding the interdenominational men's ministry, it is called Building Brothers. We have courses for men also in an interdenominational level. There is a new initiative in our church which is called CMA, Christian Motorcyclist Association. There is a committed couple in our church who started this ministry recently, just a couple months ago. As a result of a long, long time of prayer, for our greatest joy, the different denominations got together on a Sunday night of August 2004. The different denominations of our town prayed together and praised together, and we lifted up the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Since the beginning of the existence of our church, we have been renting the local cultural house for our church services. But we have many members, and during the years, we started to grow out that cultural center, so we needed to buy a property. God led us to a nearby property, just across the street, which is in a good location, and we bought that property in the year 2000. The building process started in the end of 2003. In our church building, there will be a coffee house as well. The coffee house ministry will reach the young people, the youth of the town, and the surrounding towns. We also plan to start a Bible school in our new church building. The building process requires a lot of energy, a lot of prayer, and a lot of time. Please pray for us that we could build this house for the glory of God. And please also pray for us that our church could fulfill the call God gave us. And if you feel led you would like to support us, please send your donation to the following address and bank account. God bless you and thank you.
Everybody get that address? I first met Pastor Joseph a few years ago when he actually came here to the church to speak to some of us upstairs. And then about a year later, we both went into Ukraine together to speak at a conference. And Pastor Joseph was my roommate. And one of the things I learned about Pastor Joseph is that he snores. One of the things that Pastor Joseph learned about me was that I snore. We didn't have an independent observer to see who was worse, but I think it was him. But the other thing that I learned was just how generous he was. What a generous heart, what a generous spirit that he had. Pastor Joseph, during the time of the Soviet bloc in which Hungary was under the thumb, under the Soviet Union, Pastor Joseph resisted. And he was fortunate enough to have seen the day that that oppression was lifted. He has a true, and I think perhaps during those experiences, I can't speak for him, that he really has a heart to reach out and save people. He has a true heart of an evangelist as well as a pastor. And so much so that he's also involved, I think he'll speak a little bit about it, he's also involved in a Hungarian Christian TV station that is actually under the umbrella of a bunch of interdenominational churches whose purpose is, and his heart is, to reach the lost in Hungary. He has been a real blessing in all my contacts with him. Please stand and give a warm welcome to Pastor Joseph Gere.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for this nice introduction. concerning the snoring. I am very happy that you have seen my my family and my wife on this video, because today I not today only, but on this trip I miss my wife very much, and I have more confidence when she is with me. So, you know, when we walk together with my wife, the people say, oh, it's a nice couple. And when my wife walks alone, the people say, oh, what a pretty lady. But when I walk alone, nobody say anything. So that's why I like to go with my wife. That's one of the reasons. I am not always so selfish, but really I was wondering how God put together and just in these last some months, you know, in people's life there are several periods. By the way, excuse me for my poor English language. I picked up the language only by hearing the preachers and translators. I never learned any English in the school. Basically, I learned French and Russian in the high school and in the elementary school as well. So that's why probably I do some mistakes sometimes. It happened to me in a church that I made a big mistake. Actually, your pastor is in Ukraine. By the way, he sends his love to you. I ask his permission to give his greeting to you. And he is with another pastor, Dwayne Arneson from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And I was in Dwayne's church, and when I stood up to the pulpit, I told to the people, did you know that your pastor is very unique, instead of unique? Or since that time I am confused with these two words. And I even didn't know what was the other meaning of. And some people started to laugh, and the rest of the congregation didn't understand why they were laughing. And so it was a little bit uncomfortable, but Dwayne was very gracious toward me, so it wasn't a problem. And also it happened to me in another church that it was in Cincinnati that I was, I had the chance to speak with the pastor there and the mission director, and it was a nice, polite talking, and we were sitting there, and the pastor told, okay, now we will close with a prayer. And before this meeting, I was informed by a missionary who worked with us in our church, and that church there in Cincinnati supported he and his wife in this ministry. And he explained me briefly the situation of the church. And when the pastor told, I want to finish now our meeting with a short prayer, I asked the pastor, would you allow me to share something what the Lord put on my heart? And yes, he answered, yes, go ahead. And I, with a serious face, I told him, as I understood, you are in transgression. And and the pastor was looking at me, maybe, maybe. And my friend, the missionary friend, looked at me strangely. And suddenly I realized I missed two words, transition and transgression. And, sorry, you are in transition, not in transgression. A year later, Michael told me, maybe you were prophesying that time. Really, so. But I don't want to make any mistake, but probably I will, so. And as I mentioned you, in our life we have periods, and I was wondering how God put together with my wife, and it's a great blessing, you know, to serve the Lord, and not only to being together as a male and as a female, you know, and form a family, but to serve God. That's a great, great privilege for us. And as you heard, I'm involved with a TV ministry also. Even though we don't have a separate Christian channel, we have a Christian production TV studio. And TBN provided us 6 years ago a digital TV studio equipment, and Paul Crouch told me personally, use this equipment for the glory of God to proclaim the gospel with this equipment here in Hungary. And this is part of my call because I have a big desire to reach the people who didn't hear the gospel during the communism because they didn't have too much chance, even though I was saved during the communist time, because for God everything is possible. You know, He saw my heart because I was totally in depression, and I was in nihil. You understand this word? Nihil, in the nowhere. So, you know, I didn't have any goal. I was just sitting and thinking of my past 1,000 times, thinking about my future. I was thinking in pink pink clouds, you know, but I lost the real things, you know, the everyday things, and I was between the past and the future, so I was just floating there, you know, in the nowhere, and I told that there has to be somewhere another type of life, but I didn't find anywhere. I was a sportsman in my younger age. And I saw that even in the sport there is no justice. Several times the things goes not fair way, and I saw several people from many areas of the life and the society, and I realized that nobody has a type of life what I want to live. And finally, I thought maybe I am crazy or proud or I don't know what, but it is doesn't satisfy me what I have seen until this time. And when I really heard preaching the gospel about Jesus, all my cells told that that's the one who is the solution, and this is Jesus. And He saved me, and after 3 years, the same the day as I was saved, the evening, the next night, I was able to sleep through. Even though before 3 years, I wasn't able to sleep at all. But I didn't turn to doctor because I was maybe too proud. But anyhow. Jesus saved me and He changed my life radically, and that's why I love Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's the most important thing in my life, to meet Jesus and to serve Him. And that's the most important. I like a lot of things in the life, you know. I like fishing, for example. And I like a lot of things to do, but the only thing which satisfies me to be connected with Jesus and with God and with the Holy Spirit and with the brother. So that's the best thing in my life. And I really enjoy to be a Christian, you know. I don't say this because I am a pastor and I have to say nice things, you know. But I really enjoy to be Christian. I could have the opportunity to go away and forget this religious stuffs, you know, and do my own ways. But since I came from big depression and I didn't have any goals, and I tried every type of ways how to live, and there wasn't any answer, Jesus is the only answer. And that's why I follow Jesus, and I love Him, and that's the only reason why I live. So praise the Lord. It's a very exciting life. I don't understand when some Christians say that Christian life is boring. I don't think so. It's very exciting because God challenged us always for change. We have to change.
I thought after 20 years, now I was saved 29 years ago, and when I was maybe 20 years old Christian, I thought maybe I learned a lot and I know a lot of things about God, and I developed a lot in God, and now I am a pastor. But I realized that actually every day I have to develop on some area. It's a challenge always for me. Personally, I say to you, it's that now I have to solve how to relate my son. You know, we have the same nature, the same temper. You know, and it is not easy to deal with myself. So, and it's a challenge for me, a 23 years old young man. So, and God told me I have to change, even though I wanted him to be changed. He has to on some areas, but I have to change. So, and it's a challenge. And I enjoy that God always want us to stretch us in order to change. Sometimes it's not comfortable, but that's the way. And that's why it is never boring, follow Jesus. So this was the short introduction. I want to share with you the word. The message what I want to share with you, by the way, I am much more an inspirational type of preacher and not a systematic teacher, but you have a wonderful pastor. He has both talents to inspire the people, and also he can do very systematic teachings. I was jealous a little bit seeing this type of people, you know. They have all their points and build up, and it is very good. This is my notes, you know. Even I can read it. I can't read it. So, you know, I was praying, what can I say to you? You have a wonderful pastor. He has a lot of talents. Preaching after him, it's uncomfortable. But anyhow, I was praying and God put something in my heart. And I never preached about this issue, about this topic exactly what God told me to share, even in Hungary. You know, the systematic pastors, they have a very thick booklets or what, a book, with lot of sheets with different sermons, you know, and they pull out one which fits, you know. And but I don't have, I'm not a systematic one, so I don't have this type of, I wish to have, maybe when I will, 15 years later, maybe I will have one, I don't know. And I was struggling what would be the title of my message. So, and finally, I ended the title, Your Free Will and Building Up the Church. So it's just maybe a strange title, but finally I ended to this title. So now I want to read one Bible verse from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. So Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. So as I told you, when I was praying what I should preach about, this scripture place came into my heart. And, you know, as I mentioned you, I was saved 29 years ago, and I have been in the ministry already for 25 years. I was youth leader, and I started my father-in-law to start a church. I was his assistant pastor. And 13 years ago, God told me to start a church in my native town, so I can say I am the founder pastor there. And, hopefully I grew in the Lord, and I knew more and more about Him, I realized that the church has a very unique. So I want to use the right word. How do you say, so the only one? unique. Role. It's a very unique organization, and there is no other type of organization in the whole world. God wants to show His glory through the marriages. This is written also in the Ephesian church, chapter 5, and through the church. And if we approach from this point of view that God wants to glorify, show His glory through the family, and through the Christian families and through the church, it gives us a big responsibility how we live in everyday life, in the family, and in the church as well. And as it is written here that God wanted to reveal or to make known His manifold wisdom through the church. So this was God's intention to show for the spirit realms and for the people on the earth His manifold wisdom through the church. And that's why the church, from this point of view, has a very important role. And no one has this role except the church. And I was the part of some organizations, and I see how different organizations are functioning in the society. I found that the church is absolutely unique because it was called by God, and God has given us the purpose. And the purpose is to bring glory to God's name. That's the only purpose. And, we all of us are members of this church who were born again in Jesus Christ. We were planted to the church by believing in Jesus Christ. And that's why all of us, so I can say the church members and the pastors and the deacons, the elders, all of us, we are members of this unique organization which is called church. And all of us, we have the responsibility what to do with our life in order to fulfill this desire of God that He wants to reveal and let known and proclaim His manifold wisdom through the church. And we have to embrace God's vision with the church, you know. And everything what we have to accomplish in God's kingdom, the Alpha and the Omega is to surround our will to God's will. And since my childhood I was very rebellious person. I was always very rebellious. And I can mention you several examples, even in the army. So, when I understood that God can use only the humble and obedient people, period. It's so simple, but sometimes it looks very complicated, but it is very simple like this. God search after humble and obedient people. Who was most loved people, person by God in the Old Testament? It's a question. David. And why? After God's heart. So he was the person after God's heart. Because it is written about him, as far as I remember, in the Acts chapter 16, somewhere, when Paul was preaching about David, and he mentioned that God told that, I found a young man who will accomplish after my heart, who will do all of my wills, all of my will. So, because David was willing to obey to God always and lay down his life in order let God rule over his life, that was the key why he was the man who was after God's heart. And I want to be a man after God's heart. And do you want to be a man or a woman, a girl or boy after God's heart? That's the way, you know. It is so simple. You know, when Jesus came into the earth, it is written about him in the Philippians chapter 2, that he left the glory of the heaven there, and he became a man. And as a man, he humbled himself, and he was obedient until the death of the cross. So Jesus is the biggest example. And when Jesus stood into his ministry, it is written about him that here I am to accomplish your will, O God. This is what I like to do, to accomplish your will. You know, there is a secret in the obedience to God. And there is a special blessing to be obedient to God in every area of our life. God always rewards us when we are obedient to Him. And you know, the reward is His peace dwelling in us, and He is well pleased. What you can feel when you are obedient to God. If not, you can do a lot of tricky ways, and we have several miles long of explanation why we are not able to obey. And God, you have to understand my circumstance. You see, I want to, but you see. We are very perfect on this area, by the way. But it is so simple that the person after God's heart is the one who is ready to obey always. It doesn't matter what it costs. You know, as I meet in Hungary with different pastors, in general, the situation of the church in Hungary, including all the denominations in Hungary and even traditional churches, I realized one key things in the life of the pastors, and this is what I have to put ahead me, and I have to test myself with the following one. The point is, if I am ready to go and do a very dirty job, cleaning toilets or shoveling dirt or whatever. It's nothing is a bad work, by the way. But as a pastor, if I am ready because of Christ, I am ready to do the worst job on the earth. I am always okay in my heart with God. If not, if I say that, I am a pastor and it is too dirty job for me, and what about my reputation and what about that? Or no. And I have to test always myself. This is my personal test toward me, always. Time to time, not always. I don't struggle with it every day, but time to time I have to be really honest with myself. It is good to be honest with ourselves, by the way. And I ask this question: am I ready next morning, wake up and do the dirty work? If God wants me to do this, or if the people reject me, or if everything collapsed, or whatever, doesn't matter. But the key for the freedom, if I am always willing to do what God wants me to do. And you know, I realized that in Hungary, and I think it is universal, if a preacher or a pastor is not ready to lay down his life, he lost the game already. He is not willing to do the worst job instead to be pastor. He already a loser. I can say this in his heart, because he has threatened from several things. But if as David was, here I am, doesn't matter what it costs, I want to be obedient to you. This is what I like. And that was the key of his freedom, what he had. And as Christians, we were delivered to the freedom of the children of God. And that's the key. To be obedient to God. Doesn't matter what it costs for us. And, you know, this is what I asked some closest pastor friend, and they told me that that's a problem among the pastors, that they don't want to be simple persons. So I really enjoy to be, you know, to sitting on the last pew and doing nothing. I enjoy when the people, they don't respect me. I like it, you know. And I consider as a reward. Because if I not, I would die like a dog. Suffering in my soul. But if I consider myself as the children of God and rejoicing in Him and in His grace, I have everything with Him. Doesn't matter who does something against me or who doesn't do something for me. So, but as we are members of the church, all of us are living stones for the temple of God, which is the church. All of us, we have the responsibility and the special role to build the church in order let God be glorified. And that's why we have to surround our will to God. Let God use us the way how He wants us to use. And you know, in Hungary, in the churches, I don't speak now about the traditional churches. They are more strict. They have a lot of regulations. You know it. The situation is here basically the same. But in the independent churches or charismatic churches or Pentecostal churches, who we have a lot of freedom. There is a freedom for the Holy Spirit to build a church as the Holy Spirit wants to do it. I realize that there are a lot of confusion in the church, and sometimes it is like a mess for me. It's not a bad news. It's not a good news, but sometimes that's the reality. Sometimes there are good periods, and sometimes I see everything is like a total mess. What's happened here? And you know, I realized that because God created us with a free will. That's correct, this expression? Free own will. And God respects very much this free will. And He gives room to this free will. And I was thinking a lot of times about God, you know, how He thinks about us. And it's a great trust in us from God's side, you know, that He has given us a free will. And as a Christians, members of the church, doesn't matter that somebody is a pastor or a deacon or an elder or a church member or a Sunday school leader, or doesn't matter. We have this privilege to build the church, to build up the church in order let God's glory be revealed through the church. And the wisdom, the manifold of wisdom of God could reveal through the church. And we have to use our own will, and we have to submit to God's purposes, always. And, you know, it comes in the frame that sometimes you have to obey to some person. Some people say, oh, I obey to God, but I don't serve any person. It is childish, I can tell you, very immature. I heard a teaching about Rick Renner. I don't know whether are you familiar with Rick Renner. He's a Bible teacher and he published several books. He has Rick Renner, American brother. He has a TV ministry in Latvia or somewhere. Now probably he's in Moscow. I met him. And we did, in our TV studio, we did a lot of voiceover on his teachings. And he mentioned about the church of Corinth, about the Corinthian church, that there were three branches of the church. There wasn't unity in the church. I am Paul's disciples, and the other one, I am Apollo's disciples, and the third group told, I am Christ. I belong to Christ. And Rick Renner told, probably the third group is the most dangerous one, because they don't recognize any so-called human authorities given by God, by the way, over them. That's interesting. During the several years and looking at the situation of the church in general in Hungary, I realized that we have a wonderful call of God. And I don't see my calling as a pastor only, you know, but as a living stone of the big temple, with all of my brothers and sisters around me, in the local church and in the broader view, in the Hungarian church, I can say, and this gives me a big responsibility, because the work what we do, it is the work of the Lord, not my work as a pastor of the Free Christian Church. But my work is to bring glory to God's name. And the only way to do this, to obey always God's will. And, you know, the church is an absolute potential in God's hand. And it depends on the church members. On all of us, it depends on all of us, what we do with our own will. Are we willing to lay down our will into God's hand, or we want to do our stubborn things, stubborn religious things even? You know, I was always amazed how Jesus lived his life on the earth, he was always, in every second in his life, he was obedient to God. There is one scripture place when Jesus was confronted with the Jewish leaders, and he told to them, "I have more. I would have more to speak with you, but I don't say anything other except what God told me to say." Can you imagine this? This self-control and this level of obedience, Jesus thought, "I have my private opinion about you, and it would be correct, by the way, but I don't say anything because I say only what God told me to say." So when I realized this, I repented, and it showed me how carefully I have to walk with God. It is not a threaten or a sword hanging over me, you know, but it keeps me on the road, you know, that I have to be sure always that it is God's will, what I want to do. Just recently, as you see, we started to build our church building at home. And our neighbor, by the way, she is my cousin, second cousin. And she is an invalid lady. She is in wheelchair. And simply she hates us. She hates me and she hates the church. And she wants to do every bad things against the church. So that's a spiritual battle. But you know, it touched me a little bit personally too. And I was angry a little bit and so on. And I wanted to write a letter and so on. And I realized I have no peace. This is not the way how I have to handle this problem. And I was praying. I was sitting before the computer. I was ready to type my letter. But I stopped it, and I was praying, "Oh God, please, I want your will to be done in this letter, not my will, your will. God, I know something not good motivation in my heart. I don't want to do my motivation to be revealed. I want your motivation to be revealed in this letter. This is what I want." Even though my flesh, you know, was struggling a little bit and my mind. But I know the will of God, that's the Alpha and the Omega, which counts. And the others, nothing. And finally, I had peace when I wrote this letter. And I was able to speak with this lady. She was much better than was earlier, because it was in God's will. Everything was done in God's will. And you know, I was able to keep, actually it was easy to move in God's love, you know, when I was negotiating with her. Because I already laid down my will to God's hand. And it was easy to do. And it was comfortable playground for me, because God's love was in me. God's will was in me. And it is easy to move in God's will if you are sure that you lay down, you put down your will, and you are in harmony with God's will. So, and you know, as the basic scripture place, what I mentioned you, God wants to reveal his manifold wisdom through the church. And as God's kingdom is a theocracy, the church is a theocracy. It is not a democracy. Did you realize that the democracy is maybe not the best construction? I say to you, 20 years ago, we have been under the communism, But when the communism collapsed and started the so-called democracy, I told to the people in the church, don't think that that's the best solution. The best solution is the kingdom of God. That's the only best solution. And in the kingdom of God, there is only one ruler, God. He is the king. And that's the theocracy. The democracy is not good. I don't speak against the free American democracy. I think Churchill told that democracy is a very complicated system, but there is no other one. And there is no other better in human level. But God's kingdom is the only one which is real good. And in God's God's kingdom, there is theocracy. So there is no negotiation, you know, that maybe some angel says, do you think, God, that are you serious? Do you want to do this? Or so there is no negotiation. God has his plan, and he commands, and we have to obey. And this is our joy. You know, Jesus told about himself, I came to the earth to accomplish your will, and this is my joy. And when you find this, and in the church you find that you have to obey some authorities what was given by God. Even though I say as a pastor that I like to serve. I like to serve people. Probably that's why I'm a pastor. I don't know. I don't reasoning too much, you know. I just like to do God's work without much reasoning. You know, I like serve. Really, really I like. Absolutely, I don't brag with this, but I realized it is easy for me, you know. I like to do this. Even sometimes I am lost in the details, and it is not good, so I have to stop myself to concentrate on my job. In the church, all the members of the church, because we all of us are priests, you know, according what Peter wrote, you are a holy nation and royal priest, thank you. So I know in Hungarian, but not in English. So all of us, we are priests, and we have the privilege to be part of God's wonderful plan to build a church. And it requires us, first of all, willingness to lay down our will, or to be in harmony with God's will, which is in the everyday life is the will of the leadership of the church. By the way, I didn't speak with Lenny about these issues at all. I was praying. Don't consider me as the agent of Lenny. I don't know anything closely about you. If I would, I wouldn't preach about this issue. But God told me to preach about this. I don't know why. As I mentioned you, it is a little bit uncomfortable to me because I never preached about this subject, even at home. But God put on my heart that you have the privilege to build a church as a Christian. And you have to understand that this is not your private game. This is God's kingdom. And you have a part in it. Which means that you have to follow the instruction of the leadership. It is written in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, as far as I remember well, that obey your leaders, because it helps them and they keep them happy, and this is good for you. But if you don't obey, the leaders start to be disappointed, and it doesn't help to you at all. So from God's perspective, we entrusted us to be part of his wonderful plan. What is the church, you know, what was hidden for ages, but now it is revealed. And we have to understand, all of us, put away our selfish ambitions and keep our eyes to accomplish God's will. And God's will is with your church, with my church, that he wants to reveal his manifold wisdom through you. And he wants to brag, God wants to brag before the heavenly realms with you and with me. Can you imagine this? God wants to brag with you, as he was bragging, I can say, with Job, for example. And he wants to brag with you, with your church, with Prague Church. He wants to brag with you, but you have a role and you have your own will. And as I mentioned you, God has given a big room for the free will. And I have seen God's plan failed. Oh, maybe you think that I have a false teacher. But when you think about Jeremiah, God sent him to the pottery workshop, and the pottery, what's the name of the man who does the potter? The potter formed the vessel, but it became wrong and he destroyed it. He threw it away. And God spoke to Jeremiah the same way. And sometimes the material, it is not good enough for the goal. And you have to be available vessels to God. And this is connected with free will. So you have to lay down your free will, and you have to have, and you will realize it. It does not have to have, but you will realize that it's the greatest joy to fulfill God's will and not my will. I am a hard-headed person, ask my wife. But I learned that, so it's another issue, the marriage. So, but anyhow, I don't want to say that I want to be obedient to my wife, but mutually we have to obey to each other. When I was married, I thought that I am the head of the family, so obey. But my wife is not a strawberry jam person. Praise the Lord. And she formed me a lot, and hopefully I formed her too a lot. So anyhow, but the biggest joy is when I realize that I am able to put away my will, let God's will be done instead of my will. And that's the great privilege for you as church member, to build God's kingdom in the local church. And this means that you have to fly with the will of the leadership and support them and help them. Even sometimes you don't agree with them. It happened. It's not. When you will be a pastor, probably you will be differently, the things. But now this is not your task. So I had to understand this when I was youth leader, and the assistant pastor did something really wrong. And I was upset and I was angry and I thought, oh, this is not according to the Bible. And as I was praying, God told me, don't behave this way. Remember what David told to his man when he was very close to Saul. He was in the cave, you know, and Saul was using the cave as the toilet, and he was just behind him. Even he cut his clothes. And the man who was with David, they told him, kill him, that's the time when God has given into your hand. And David told, I don't lift up my hand against the anointed one of God. And I had to repent. Even though he wasn't good, it was clear. But God told me, this is my task to deal with him. This is not your responsibility. And we have to learn these type of things in order to be available vessels to God, good stones who fits to the good living stones who fits to the temple of God. And we have to lay down our will, which means that we have to be tuned to God's will, and we can fly together with God's will. And that's the joy of our life, and that's our privilege, and that's our responsibility. And we will give account about everything what we have done on the earth. I saw in Hungary, I speak about Hungary, and it is very sad that God started a very wonderful work somewhere in a church, but it failed on some selfish ambitions. Always selfish ambitions. It failed, simply. Even though God wanted to accomplish, but he wasn't able to because the material wasn't good. So it is fearful a little bit, but this is our responsibility. This is the responsibility of the free will. I challenge you to lay down your will and to be in harmony with God's will, and to be obedient to what God's word and to what the Holy Spirit and to what the leaders. And it will help you. It will keep you on the line. I was speaking with a leader in a church, and he told that he doesn't agree with the pastor. I told him, don't worry about this. Do your work. I asked him, does your pastor wants to be famous or rich, or he wants to rule over the church? And not really, but his vision and his ways of how he arranged the things, I don't like it. I told him, if the pastor doesn't commit any sin, like stolen the money of the church or chasing ladies or whatever, follow him, serve him, and God will bless you. I emphasize again, I didn't speak with Lenny about this at all. I don't know why I am saying this. But you know, you are a big potential, a great potential in God's hand. And the free will, one man free will can destroy a wonderful work of God. If one stone is missing or floating there always, you know, doesn't want to fit, you know, to the building, it causes harm, and finally the whole building will collapse, or the side of it, and the people who pass by a building which is very nice, but let's say the third of it is ruins, they don't say, oh, this is a nice building. Oh, what's it is very damaged. What's happened here? And there are a lot of unhealthy churches, and God wants the churches to be healthy, which means that the church can... on the church you can see the manifold wisdom of God and the glory of God, and that's God's will into your personal life and the life of the church. So now I finish my message, and really it was on my heart, and I was even struggling yesterday whether I can share this message or not. Maybe it fits or not, I don't know. But I wanted to be obedient. And at the end of the meeting, which is very soon now, I want to challenge you, and if you want to have a pray, we will pray for you, me and the prayer team, ministry team. We will pray for you if you want to fulfill God's will in your life, if you realize that you are rebellious. I was several times rebellious when God spoke to me, but I told to him, it doesn't matter if I die, or it doesn't matter, but I want your will to be done, not my one. I was praying this way several times. I was shouting in the wilderness, really. It's not a mystical wilderness. Somewhere in the fields, I was go out fishing, but I was struggling with something in my heart, and for 2 hours I was just shouting to God, God, I want your will, because my thinking of way and my flesh pushed towards another direction, and I know this is not your will, but it was so strong push of the enemy and the flesh. I don't want to blame always the devil, it's the flesh, and my own will, my free will, but I realized it is not God's will. And for 2 hours I was just shouting to God and crying to God, and please, I sacrifice my flesh. I want your will to be done and not my one. And I think we need some crucial points in our life, what you call, as far as I understood from American pastors, so-called Gethsemane experience. But we have to go through it. Without this, we can't serve God. Jesus had to go through this experience. Much more we have to go through this experience. And if you feel that you didn't deal deeply in your personality, in your heart, with the willingness to lay down your will to God's hand, you have to do it. Because this way your Christian life will be a joy. Always joy, I tell you, always joy. And if you want to pray on this area, we will pray for you at the end of the meeting. God bless you. Thank you to let me share here. God bless you.